Okay, I'm sitting with Mike Cannon Brooks, the CEO of Atlassian, and they're the makers of Jira and Confluence. And they had a new product called Bamboo, so I wanted to ask you about Bamboo.
Okay. Bamboo is a continuous integration and software telemetry system. So its aim is to do all of the things that continuous integration is aiming to do, such as build your software repeatedly, tell you quickly if it fails or if something goes wrong with the software building process, generically, so it can run tests and do code coverage and all that sort of thing. But then it goes a whole step further than that. So rather than just being a simple reporting application, as most continuous integration systems are, it's a full build telemetry or software telemetry server. So what that means is we take a lot of the data that's generated in the build process, so everything from, say, the time of the build to the amount of tests that succeeded or passed, or the code coverage, or any of these sort of small metrics, and then we can draw long-term trends from those. So we can show you, for example, is your build running slower today than it was 6 months ago? And we produce a lot of useful information from those that's usable in an application sense.
Okay, so how would I use that extra information?
You can use it in a number of ways. For example, you can use it to compare different software projects. So at Atlassian, we have five different software teams now, different products that are released or unreleased. We often compare them in terms of, say, the percentage of successful builds over a given time period. So I don't really mind if you run five builds or 100 builds in a day, but what percentage of those were successful? So instead of looking at it a per build metric, we look at everything on a time-based metric and say, okay, well, in March, we had 80% of our builds succeeded, and in May, we only had 60% success rate for all the builds that we ran in that month. So what's going wrong? Why is Team A running at 60% when all my other teams are running between 80 and 90? What's the difference there? A good metric that we use as well is we track direct test failures to developers and success to developers as well. So we don't, if two particular tests fail in this build and a different two tests fail in the next build, instead of just saying, okay, well, it was failing before and it's still failing now, it's probably not my problem, which is a general developer thing, we can tell the developer directly, no, you broke two additional tests that weren't failing before, and we track those two tests, and we can tell that developer when those two tests are fixed.
Okay, say that again. So basically, if I'm a developer and I check something in and it breaks the build, why would I not think it was me that broke it?
Because it may already be broken. So the problem with continuous integration systems in a real world team is often that there's the bit of the broken windows theory, which is what happens is the build's already broken. So I kind of assume that, you know, I'm a developer, I'm great, I'm really good at what I do. So I didn't break anything. It was already broken. It was the other guy who broke it beforehand. It's not my responsibility to fix it. And then it gets slowly more and more and more broken until usually what you do is you have a week or so. Suddenly the technical lead's job is to say, look, guys, the build's been hasn't run for a week. We really have to knuckle down, tools down, let's fix it. And then it becomes so much more painful because the pain involved in fixing the build is so much greater. With every, you know, minute that goes past, we have that in all sorts of ways. So one is to be able to tell the individual developer exactly what they broke or fixed, to be able to look at any part of a current broken build and see what part is responsible of which developer and how long it's been. We use IAM networks and all sorts of other things to tell the developers immediately when they break something, rather than using email, which is a really bad notification mechanism for developers, because developers generally don't check their email during the day. So if they break the build and they get an email, they don't check it till 5 o'clock in the afternoon, what good is that? So we IAM them directly to their computer, so they find out immediately. We track direct personal responsibility of build breakages.
How do you do that? So does it just work on Subversion, or does it work on what?
No, it supports Subversion, CVS, and Perforce at the moment, and we're adding ClearCase and Visual Source Safe.
So if I'm using Subversion, I was just imagining that. Let me just ask you, how do you track it? Who is responsible for what change? And you know.
So we can look at the commits to see what code has changed, and we support full integration with Jira on the issue side and things like FishEye and other things on the source side. So you get a nice sort of round tripping where you can walk from Bamboo to Jira to FishEye and around and back again from all three tools. And then we can look at the commit and see exactly who's triggered a build for whatever reason, and then work backwards to see, okay, well, what commits are made in this trigger, who might be responsible, and then work out, exactly who broke which pieces.
Okay. So if two people committed at the same time, does that trigger two different builds so that you can keep track of who?
That depends on how you have Bamboo set up. So if you have it set up to run builds atomically, for example, on every commit, then it could run two builds, or you could just have one build running, you know, on a polling basis or something. If you have Bamboo polling your CVS or Subversion server or Perforce server, say once an hour, if you want to reduce the load that it generates.
So in that case, there may be three different things that got checked in the build field. So how do you know who caused what problem?
Then we know it's one of those three people. Okay. So we would tell them all.
Okay.
But in a real world scenario, that's probably a problem, you know, a couple of percent of the time. So we can get kind of 95% of the way there pretty well. And we can track things like one of the other interesting metrics that we use a lot is the average time it takes a team to fix their build. So I can have a look and say, okay, per month, how long did it take the team to fix the build? Because what I'm looking at is improving my team performance. And I can say, okay, well, last month, our average time to fix a build was 10 hours, 25 minutes, 38 seconds. This month, we've cut it down to 8 hours. So, guys, we've done well. Let's try and get it to 6 hours. And you say, well, 6 hours to fix a build, is that good or bad? I don't really know. But what you look at is the rest of your organization. Say, okay, well, you know, I have one software team at work that fixes builds in about 40 minutes. It's the average time to fix a build. And the number of failing builds that goes past before a green build is like one and a bit. So not many at all. But we have other teams that their average time to fix a build is between 5 and 10 hours. So if we've got 35 minutes on one hand and 5 to 10 hours on the other side, I can go to the second team and say, hey, guys, what, you know, why are we taking so long? Is it a bigger team? Is it more people? Should we care? But the fact that I know that means I can deal with that as a problem.
I was just curious how this tool changes the behavior of a team. And basically, for example, if someone knows that it's easy for the manager to kind of see who's responsible for a broken build, maybe they would break the build less often. Or so in what positive ways does it change people's behavior on the team?
Okay. It changes a few different things, I guess, from different levels. From the manager's perspective, it gives them a lot more insight into team performance, so they can see what teams are underperforming and what teams are performing well, compare different teams. They can look at overall trends in the software development process and see whether they're being reversed. So these are usually amorphous notions. I think our build is running too slowly, but I can now tell you exactly how slowly it runs compared to previous times, how many breakages we're getting, what our coverage is going up and down. So that's from a manager's perspective and an overall team performance perspective. You can say, okay, the build's getting slower and slower and slower, guys. We really need to focus on improving this. From the individual developer perspective, it gives a lot more insight into the exact nature of any given failure, how long it's been around. And from the code perspective, we highlight a lot of hotspots in your project. So, for example, what tests in my project over the past 30 days have been really hard to fix? So because we track everything down to the test case and the test suite level, I can tell you, say, at a test case level, the top 10 test cases that took the most amount of time to fix, those should be rewritten. The top 10 test suites over the past year that failed the most. So maybe they're brittle pieces of code, they're areas that we should concentrate on. So we're trying to highlight to the developers themselves hotspots in the code that they probably want to look at to improve the overall quality of the piece of software. And then from the developer's usage point of view, they have all these tools at their fingertips. So they get like favorite builds, favorite plans, the ability to see exactly what software in the build system is important to them rather than having this massive list of builds. They can highlight just the three or four that are important to them. They can go in and say, well, I want to see when this fails, or I want to be told when this fails. And the notification system, which is something I haven't talked about either, that A uses Jabber, so you find out much more instantly. So you close that loop down. You find out a lot more quickly. You can fix problems a lot more quickly because you find them out a lot closer to commit time. And the second thing it does is allows the notifications to be a lot more flexible. So, for example, saying, well, email the development team every time my build fails is just crap. Because what happens is that email goes out to 10 people on the software team, and generally what happens is they set up a filter and it ends up in the trash. What you want to do is the more precise and the more accurate you can get those notifications. So, for example, okay, well, because we know exactly who broke something, let's just IM them. So send them an IM message. And if the build hasn't been fixed in 4 hours, then let's email or IM the tech lead. And if it hasn't been fixed in 12 hours, then we email the whole team. Or if its build's been broken for more than three breakages, so more than three broken builds in a row, then we do something different. So you get a lot more granularity of notification, which just improves the speed at which things are fixed, because continuous integration is really all about speed.
Cool. All right, great. Thanks very much.
Cheers.